Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we've been through racial politics today, four Supreme Court decisions, two Chris Christie scandals, and the undetermined Rangel-Espaillat outcome. And we conclude for our last few minutes with the question, are you a date Googler, or do you practice Google abstinence? Maybe you saw Maureen O'Connor's column in New York Magazine about why it might be better not to research your love interests online. So, callers, do you Google your dates? If you do, what do you discover? 212-433-WNYC. Or maybe more importantly, what are you hoping to find? What would be a deal breaker? Tell us your Googling your date stories. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And do you do it? Do you not do it? Did you do it but feel creepy about it? 212-433-9692. And if you don't, as many of Maureen O'Connor's friends don't, what are you wary of? Is the better way to fan the flames of budding romance to actually get to know the person in person? What does that add to the early stages of a relationship for you? 212-433-9692. Maureen O'Connor, columnist for New York Magazine. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Could you set this up for us? You and your friend got into an argument.
Yes, we did. So my friend had been on a few dates with a guy, and he'd sort of mentioned, oh, have you watched my comedy videos on YouTube? And she goes, no, I want to get to know you in person. So she told me this. We were G-chatting, actually, at work, obviously, because this is how we spend our days. And I was like, it was so shocking to me, the idea that she could know this was out there. And of all things to sort of be, I don't know, indicative of a person and his, like, life, his comedy of all things, to refuse to avail yourself to that knowledge almost made me angry. And I was like, well, you have to do it. And then I started Googling him, and I morphed into this, like, in this, like, Garden of Eden of her Google. I was the snake, and I was like, you must look at these things. And then I started asking around, and I realized that a lot of my friends who are less nosy than I am were saying, well, no, because if you look at it, then it's going to mess up your understanding of him. It'll be prejudicial, or you don't want to get too wrapped up in it. So I try to hold back. And they all sort of talked about it almost with the language we associate with chastity, that they say, you know, it's really tempting, but I need to resist. I'm trying to wait until I know him a little better and we're really comfortable with each other.
I'm saving my Googling for marriage.
Exactly.
But you wrote in your column that you know someone who abstained from Googling a guy, but when she eventually did, she discovered he was married.
Well, here's the key. She discovered page after page of wedding photos. And of course, you know, for people that have married in the sort of age of Pinterest, there's this infinite that is like every, you know, the wedding photographer had a page with their names on it. The, you know, the person who designed the place cards had photos of it with their names on it. And we go through this and everybody's looking at it and they're like, oh my God, what do we do? And as it turned out, the guy was divorced. Married and divorced relatively quickly. And it was extraordinarily odd that, you know, you might not talk about your exes on a first date, but all of a sudden we're looking at this wedding. And the funny thing is some girls were like, oh, wow, that's a really bad, he's divorced, he didn't tell you. All I could say was, well, look what a lovely groom he was. Maybe you should be with this man. So lovely.
Elaine in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, yeah, I did Google the guy I'm dating now because he told me his wife died, so I looked up his last name in the obituary to make sure.
Ooh.
And I did find, I found her there, so it was good to go, because the previous person who got my phone number at the gym, when I went to Google him, I found his mugshot, and he had stabbed his previous girlfriend and his lawyer, according to the allegation.
So
that's why I say absolutely, and I raised a daughter who's an adult now, so because of that, I learned for personal safety reasons, it's good to Google if you're female especially, or, but I guess anybody could have a potentially violent partner. You want to know that.
I wish you could see that Maureen's jaw dropped from the eighth floor that we're on to about the third floor of this building when you said mugshot.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
so it's so true because on one hand, a lot of people did say that they're like, is it even safe to see somebody without Googling them? Which is sort of, it's a funny, it's almost that like you can find out information that can be really important. On the other hand, you can't know for sure that a person is going to be, you know, nonviolent because you don't find a mugshot in his, you know, it gives you a sense of security and it can tell you sort of negative information, but it's hard to know whether you're getting, you know, the inverse of that.
Then there was, of course, all of history until 10 years ago when people couldn't do this. Kate in Manhattan and Paul in Jersey City, both on here. Kate, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi there.
And Paul, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So I think we're going to have a little people's note comparing here. Kate, what do you do?
What do I do? I'm a brand strategist, but so a full-time GS student doing an undergraduate degree at Columbia.
Oh, I really meant to Google your dates.
Oh! I certainly Google my dates. For an advertising agencies, and so online search, as far as I'm concerned, is like new business, and is about building a profile on anyone who you might date, whether it's online or not. And that, and clearly, in terms of a world that's about transparency and data, I would look at everything from marriage, jobs, wealth and assets, divorce, and particularly published photos.
Before you go on your first date? You need all that before you go to lunch with somebody?
Not lunch. Well, I mean, you know, if you use the analogy of new business, which is all from a commercial perspective, which is about knowing your prospect, as far as I'm concerned, one has to know one's prospect from a dating perspective.
Right. Okay, and you know what? Your phone line is breaking up so bad that I'm going to have to let you go. But Paul in Jersey City, you're on the other side of this as a personal practice?
I guess I am. I do not Google much of anything because I feel like I'd like to get to know the person. And the more you know about a person before you go out with them, I feel like you might be guiding the conversation in a certain direction that it would not have otherwise gone. And you might be answering questions that you would have answered otherwise instead of just honestly and whatever comes to mind when you're having a conversation.
Paul, thank you. I'm going to go to Julia in Greenpoint next. Julia, you're on WNYC. Hey.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I have sort of a different perspective, and that is that a couple years ago, an ex of mine put a profile of me on a dating website it's called Dating Psychos. And it has my name, picture of me, my phone number, my business name, my address, and everything. So now my fear for the rest of my life is that people are going to Google me. I mean, actually, I'm getting married in 2 weeks, so I guess I don't have to worry about that, future dates. But,
let's hope.
You know, this thing is just always there on the internet now. So I'm very against Googling future dates and past dates for that reason. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And there's history of people Googling her.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
So looking at it from the point of view of the Googlee instead of the Googler.
That's what I found, too, that one of my friends was saying that I don't Google people because he's like, I'm just hoping that they aren't Googling me because I don't like what's there for me. So for him, he's like, it's karma that he's hoping. Let's hope if I don't do it, then they won't either.
Lisa in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I think the internet means that we don't have backstories of people. I recently was talking with a guy, and we were going to go out, and he asked me to look at a PowerPoint presentation, and the properties had his real name in it, and I did Google him and found out he was married with 3 children. And I felt weird doing it, but I was really glad I did because he was married and very married.
So, Maureen, maybe, Lisa, thank you. And so now we've had the guy with the mugshot and the guy who's really married with 3 kids. And even though this is going to be probably, we hope, a small minority of all the dating experiences that people have, one argument for Googling is that you will at least weed out that small percentage of criminals and psychopathic bigamists.
You know, that's actually what happened when years ago when the U.S. congressman from upstate New York, Chris Lee, ended up resigning, and after he'd sent, you know, pictures of himself shirtless to a woman, the woman Googled him and realized, oh, my God, he's a congressman. And that was when she, you know, reached out and was like, does anyone want to tell this story? And, in fact, we did.
How are you, Anthony? Kofi in Jersey City. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
Absolutely love your show.
Thank you
very
much.
I'm addicted to it. I listen to it all the time.
It's a positive addiction.
Yep.
What's your story?
So I had an experience where once I met a girl, and we exchanged Instagrams. So I think it still kind of falls into Googling someone, right, because it's essentially just kind of doing our own version of background checking, checking their social media, et cetera.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Our experience was that we exchanged each other's Instagram in person, and while we were both still there, I was going through her Instagram and she was going through my timeline, and we were having a conversation about it, where she's traveled, where I have traveled, what restaurants we've been to, what foods we cook, etc. And it was a very real and current moment because we were kind of stalking each other, but in person, and we could get more detailed information about it. So,
I love this. This is the Googling each other date.
It's the it's the cyber bionic date. You know, you're enhancing your reality with your internet self too.
Exactly.
This picture of you, was this like sophomore year when, you know, you're kind of in the bath? Oh, never mind. Okay. Kofi, thank you very much. That's a great story. So, Maureen, the premise of your article was that you were having this argument with your friend, mm-hmm. and you were pro-Googling and she was anti-Googling your dates. Mm-hmm. Have you come around now to Google abstinence?
You know, I see some of the wisdom of it. I think I'm far too nosy. Although my new theory now is that I tell everybody, you don't have to Google your date. Just give me his name and I'll Google him. And if he has a serial killer, I'll just, you know, I'll tell you if you need to know.
And we will wrap it up with this comment from our webpage. Somebody wrote, I Googled my boyfriend because he is a New Yorker cartoonist, and I couldn't possibly date a guy whose cartoons I didn't think were funny. Luckily, I love them, and we've been together for 10 years. And that's the
Perfect.
Last word. We thank Maureen O'Connor, columnist for New York Magazine, who wrote about Googling your dates versus Google abstinence. Thank you so much.
Thank you.